I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The battle to get the Iraqi city of Mosul out of ISIS control is still grinding on, and it's not just soldiers who are busy. Firefighters are working around the clock to put out fires from more than a dozen oil wells. Those blazes were set by ISIS militants. Massive clouds of black smoke have coated everything in and around the town of Ghariya in black soot. The smoke is so dense that NASA satellites have been able to capture images of it from space. The World's Richard Hall is in northern Iraq covering the story. Richard, how and why did ISIS set these oil fires?
So ISIS set these oil wells on fire basically to protect themselves as they were retreating from the town. So what happened back in June is that the Iraqi army was advancing on the town. This was part of the offensive to recapture Mosul and the surrounding areas. And to protect themselves from airstrikes as they were retreating, they set these wells on fire. It kind of covered the sky with this black smoke, so U.S. coalition jets couldn't see them and couldn't target them as easy.
Right. And how well has that strategy worked for ISIS? Have they been able to avoid being targeted because of the smoke?
To some extent, yeah. It might have helped them in the retreat, but they're still being targeted pretty much every day by U.S. coalition jets. Another reason as well is that they wanted to kind of make things as difficult as possible for the government that was returning to Ghariya by destroying the infrastructure in the town.
Well, now these fires have been going on for nearly 3 months, and only a handful, I gather, of these oil wells have been extinguished. What makes it so difficult to put them out?
Yeah, so we went there yesterday, and I can't begin to describe how surreal the scene is there. You can see the huge black clouds from miles and miles away, and you get into the town, and we saw many children running around with this kind of black soot over their face, and almost every sheep in town has now been turned black. And we spoke to a firefighter at one of the oil fires there, and he basically told us it's a really complex procedure how to put these fires out. One of the first things they have to do before they even start tackling the blaze is to check for mines and check for explosives that might have been left around these oil wells. There have been a number of cases just since I've been here of children, in fact, coming across stray mines that have been left by ISIS and being killed and injured by them. Then they need to kind of set up pipelines, water pipelines, to pump huge amounts of water into the wells. Then they need to cover it with dirt. They have experts from around the world helping them put these fires out, but the firefighter I spoke to just kind of, he emphasized that this was above his station almost.
How about the residents of this town? How are they dealing with it? I mean, because this has got to be nasty stuff.
Yeah, so we spoke to a couple of people. These fires have been burning for months now, and this horrible smoke is being inhaled by people. So we went to a clinic in Ghariya and spoke to a doctor who told us about some of the effects this was having on the residents there.
طبعا اكثر الاعراض هي تنفسيه التهاب قصبات التهاب صدر.
So this doctor is telling me that most of the problems they're seeing in the clinic are related to breathing. They are seeing inflammation of the lungs, shortening of breath, and in some cases, some mild cases of suffocation. He's also saying that they get a lot of cases of diarrhea and vomiting due to the smoke. So there's just a huge amount of health problems. And the doctor also told us that this was affecting the elderly and children, young children under 10 years old most. I also met a couple of dozen kids playing soccer underneath this huge plume of black smoke, and I went to ask him how he could possibly play when all these fumes are cascading around him, and this is what he said to me. He's saying that we are Iraqis, we have lived many wars, we can do anything. And he also added, we are made of iron.
Yeah, I mean, that's very confident and all, but I mean, we're talking toxic smoke. I mean, they don't have masks, do they? I mean, this is going to be going on for at least a few more weeks, I'd expect.
Yes, as we drove around the town, we noticed that people weren't really wearing protective masks. You'll see some of the firefighters wearing these very basic surgical masks, but most people are just kind of walking around and they're inhaling smoke for most of the day.
So on top of a geopolitical crisis in northern Iraq, how much does this represent a new environmental crisis?
This is one of the things that the UN has warned about. They're actually looking at what happened in Kuwait to figure out what could happen here in Iraq. In the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein, some people remember, set alight to the oil fields in Kuwait while he was retreating for similar reasons. And what happened there was some damage to vegetation, and chemicals seeped their way into the groundwater and into the water supply. So what they're doing at the moment is getting ready to send teams out to really monitor the water supply here and monitor the soil and check for these kind of effects that might come about.
The World's Richard Hall in northern Iraq in Erbil. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marco.